Sure it is. George, what happened to the little dog that you didn't want to eat, the puppy?
That puppy, the one I don't want to eat, and one time went down to the porch by himself, and as soon as the other dogs to see the little puppy, they were round up, and the gang on 'em, they were eat it up in the pieces alive.
George, were you living in a nice house at this time?
Yes, snow house, and we have three porches, and the big house, and the main house, and the three little ones joined together, we call it porch.
George, you've lived in snow houses and tents, and now today you have a wooden frame house. Which do you prefer out of these?
I've been
I believe you worked for the Hudson's Bay Company for a while, is that right?
Yes, and after that, and the first thing, and I got a job in the Department of Transport at Cape Hope's Advance for 3.5 years. And then after that, and then I came down to the Payne Bay and working for the Hudson's Bay Company at the store. And then I stayed for the 14 months, and then one of the people, and the first the Northern Service officer came up to Chimo. And then he spent the whole year, and then after that, in the second year, and he made a trip up to Payne Bay, where I live, and when I was working in the Hudson's Bay Company. And then he came up by plane from Chimo to Payne Bay. From there, from the Payne Bay, I have to take him up to Quartuck, to Cape Hope's Advance, my own team.
You used your own dog team to take
Yes,
him.
yes.
I see. How long did that trip take, George?
It'll take us in the 2 days.
2 days.
2 days. Of course, at that time, the day's long, long.
Yes.
Then,
I believe he offered you some. He asked you how you were getting on, is that right?
yes, that's right. And he offered me. First thing, and he's asked me, and how do I like my job and the working in the Hudson's Bay Company? Then I told him, and then I like it, and sometimes it's kind of a little bit too much.
And George, I believe you have some polar bear stories to tell us. You seem to have had quite a lot of experiences out hunting and fishing. Do you care to tell us about your first polar bear expedition?
yes. One time when I was 12 years old, and the first trip I ever made with my uncle to Akpatok Island in the middle of Ungava Bay. We went out to Akpatok Island by Peterhead. One day, while we at Akpatok Island, my uncle and myself, we went along walk to hunting polar bears up at the mountains. And then he saw the dark spot on the middle of the snowbank, and he told me he thinks that polar bear house. So we walk along up towards to the snowbank. That snowbank is so steep slope and too slippery. We walk along in a very slow, and sometimes we slide down. Then when we close to the hole, and then he getting slow down, and every time we get near, when we get up to the front of the doorway, and he told me, and he thinks there's something in it, and he can tell what he feels and ear. It's warmer than the outside. Then he asked me if I would come along, and when we going inside. So I'm very scared. I never do this before, and I was so young, and I don't know anything about the polar bear hunting. So he wanted me to follow him. We going right inside. And the first thing, we slide in, and then we stopped down flat bottom, a sort of a floor. Then we can't see anything ahead. That hole, and it's sort of zigzagging, and it's not straight hole. We have a flashlight, and he's trying to shine it onto the head, and we can't see anything. And also, when I was turned around, and I can't find the hole, because the hole is not straight. Then we gradually going inside, and seem to be in the warmer and the warmer, and the air is very warm. Then finally he told me he saw something right down the bottom of the hole. Then he saw the two eyes is shining when he flashing at him. Then he told me it just and keep follow me. And then I'm keep following him, and I got up, I'm very so shake, and I could hardly stand. And I hold his parka, and behind him, I don't even think about my rifle, and I still holding it, but somehow, and he told me, and just keep ready, and put the bullet in the chamber, just in case, if the polar bear, and is coming out, and just before we got there. So I saw the polar bear, even I'm more scared. And he looking at us, and he's laying down, and he's growling us a few times. Then we walk along around it on the other side. And then when we're standing on the other side, and my uncle told me he's going to try to chase it out. He don't want to kill it inside. It's going to be too problem to haul it out after he dead. So he want to let the polar bear out and before he kill it. So, and then he start to light up the cigarette. And then try to make a stink inside the and the smoke inside the in the hole in the polar bear house. And then it's gradually it's finally the polar bear started getting up and then the walks and the turn around and going away. When after he stand up, and boy, I'm thinking, what a animal. And then we follow him behind. He walking out. And then we walk behind him, behind the polar bear. And then after he got out at the doorway, and then he slide down to the bank. And then my uncle told me, and he didn't want me to go fast, because sometimes a polar bear and came out of the house, just go right around above the hole, that's waiting as someone come out, and then jump right over them. So, and he's very careful on that, and he's look around a few times and before we went out. Then after we came out, then he saw the polar bear and scared and running and over the hill just before they went over the hill, and he saw it, and then we start to run after them, and then he killed it from there.
How did he kill it, though, George? Did it take many shots?
He shot in an and he using in the 30-30 and high power rifle, and he fired it twice, and he killed it in the second bullet.
That must have been quite a bullseye, because they've got heads like rocks of polar bears, haven't they?
Yes.
Thank you, George. How big was this polar bear that your uncle killed then?
That was almost a 2-ton, the polar bear.
How high would it be?
About 6 foot high, and I would say about 10 feet long.
I see. And is your uncle still alive?
No, my uncle has died last year.
Did he die hunting?
No, and he died in that at home. And he was just not feeling good and since several years. And last year, 1959, died. He didn't sick very long. Mm. And he was just sick, and he got sick one day, and he died the next day.
Mm. George, you have another polar bear story, haven't you? Maybe hear that too?
Yes, and I have another story. That story, I made it, that been happened for myself. And one time, that was 5 years ago, when I was up at the Cape Hope's events, one day, a lot of people at Quartuck, and it's very near to my place, about 5 miles away from my house. And they came into the our place. They have a meeting. In the first meeting, when the first time the Northern Service officer came up to Cape Hope's events, they want to have a meeting for sort of a plans for where they going to living for the winter and also in summer. And during the day, and I was in the meeting too, and my wife came in and knocking the door, and he told me he saw something strange down at the ice and never saw it before. And sort of a yellowish color, it's not like the ice. And also it's moving. So I went out, I dashed out the door and leapt down the ice. I couldn't see anything. And then I went back to meeting again. And second time, my wife came in again. It is some strange and the possibility polar bear. And then all of us in the meeting, we went out the door and looked down the ice. And I saw it, and the first thing I spotted down the middle of the ice and coming towards the shore. And I have a few barrels of dog food and cached down the beach. And that's where the polar bear has been eating my dog food and all night. And all that morning, he's been resting, laying down the ice. When he started hungry again, and he came up and towards back to the same barrel. He didn't finish the barrel that night because my dogs had been bothering him. And during the night, and I heard a few dogs barking, but I didn't pay attention to them, and I thought it was a barking to another dog. So next morning, my wife saw the polar bear. So there it is, and that's the one that must be eating my dog food last night. Then, when we saw the polar bear start towards dog food again, I grabbed my rifle. I run down. I only have 3 bullets in it, in the magazine. I don't even think about getting another box of ammunition. I was so hurry. I just grabbed my rifle. It's only 3 bullets in the magazine. That's all I have. Of course, there's a few more guys that run behind me. And some of them that have a few ammunition. So in that case, and I think it'll be all right. So when I get down to close enough, I sat down, just waiting and a little closer. And the polar bear, as soon as he saw me, he started walking a little faster towards me. Then I waited a little longer, and before somebody else came down and shoot it, and I take a fire at it, then I hit it at the back of the shoulder, I didn't hit it at the right place I want to hit. I just wounded. And then start run away and rolling and howling. And then just before jump into the water, and I shot it on the neck, that was the stopped it. And then after a while, then he flipped over to the edge of the ice, went down the water. Then we got to get the harpoon, and we have a kayak too, and this is too much trouble getting kayak out and in short time. And we have a handy, the harpoon, and we harpoon it, we got it out, and we haul it, try to haul it out into the ice. We couldn't haul it out, it's too heavy. We're 10 of us, we just haul it halfway, we couldn't haul it any much longer. Then we hitched all the dogs, then we hollered holler up by dogs, and also in the 10 men's. Mm-hmm. Then there's dogs and drag it right up, and pull it right up to the houses. And then we cut it up there. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of lots of helpers in that time, and I'm very glad. And also, and the radio operators, and they were very happy in taking the photographs and pictures in the polar bear while we cutting it. So I'm very happy that time. It's never been happy as so much all my life at that time.
Is that so? George, was that your first polar bear?
Yes, that's the first time the polar bear I killed.
Well, tell me, where is the vulnerable spot you look for when you're firing?
When I was aim at the polar bear, and I aiming on the neck there, and then the polar bears are walking, and the bullets and they came behind. That's why it landed on the back of the shoulder.
Yes. How big was that polar bear?
That polar bear, 600 pound, and 4 feet high, and 8 feet long.
That's a whopper, isn't it?
Yes, and a very fat too.
Mm. Well, thank you again, George.
You're welcome.
When you have the carcass now skinned, what did you do with the skin and the meat? What did you use that for now?
We cut it up the meat. We share to other people. Those people at my place while we kill the polar bear. And I kept the skin year after. No, that was 2 months after. Mm-hmm. I sell it to Hudson's Bay Company.
How much did they give you for it?
I get the $30 for it.
Mm. Jolly good.
That's very good.
And you enjoyed your polar bear steaks, did you?
Oh, yes. And we had a... every dinner, and then we had the polar bear steaks.
I see they're building rigid frame houses here. What do you think of these now?
Those are rigid frame houses built. Well, they're very good, but only thing, but a little bit too small for the few families. But otherwise, there's nothing wrong with it.
What about... They don't have running water or anything like that, do they? Do they have any equipment furnished with them, or is it just the frame?
Just the plywood and the frame, nothing else.
So you have what you want to add. You must add yourself to it,
yes,
and develop it.
Yes, we have to do what we like to something to the organize the inside to make in cupboards or anything.
Mm. It's just a shell.
Yes.
Mm. George, the prime reason for preferring these is because it's warmer, is that right?
Yes, that's true. And the winter time is very, very warm. Mm-hmm. A lot warmer than the snow house and the tent.
Now, you mentioned that there's only one type of store for you here. What is your idea on this now?
And at that time, the 1940, and we can't get anything what we feel like that time. And right now, this is more white people coming up north to our country, and also it's more employ men's for working in Northern Affairs and Hudson's Bay Company and a little few different company. Then they're making some money and unloading ships, and also sometimes in winter time they and a better trapping, and also the people's family allowance. And that time we didn't have anything, no family allowance, no ration, no anything.
And not credit at a store?
No. That's every skin they catch, seal, they sell it in the Hudson's Bay Company. That's the only way you can get. And also, when you catch fox, that's the money you get. Nothing else.
They have a new cooperative store run by the Eskimos in Port Burwell. Would you like to see more of these, George?
Oh, yes. The year before last, when this started to organize and this program and a fishing project at George River and Port Burwell. Well, I hoping this is going on very well, because I don't want to see the people losing what they had a chance right now. So if this is going to carry on, would be very, very wonderful to them, to the people, and who's not working continually.
Yes, those who just have occasional employment.
Yes.